You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Cheery New England.
Yeah,
like the snow.
The only cheery New England films are ones with like family reunion type movies.
Yes, where everybody hates each other until someone falls in love.
Yeah, and then everything is lovey-dovey by the end. But not Manchester by the Sea.
Not this one.
No. Although nope. It is a family reunion film.
It is a family reunion.
Of sorts.
The family barbecue of sorts.
Oh. Too soon.
Jeez. I feel like someone should be offended if these aren't fictional characters. This is the latest film by Kenneth Lonergan. Am I saying that
Lonergan.
Correctly?
Lonergan. 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 That's a proud Irish name.
Who has actually been working in film since 1994.
Wow.
He wrote the screenplay for Gangs of New York.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
all right.
Just saying. This is nothing like that.
Yes, they are not birds of a feather.
No, they are.
I don't know. It's cold and lots of people die near Boston.
Casey Affleck plays the central character here, who is...
Yes. Casey Lack of Affect Affleck.
Who is playing Lee Chandler, who is a man living a life of isolation and you know, except... And misanthropy. Really?
I think it's kind of the opposite of misanthropy is that he just hates himself.
Yeah, he hates himself, but he also doesn't, like...
He doesn't play well with others.
He doesn't want anybody to get close to him on any level. He's living in a shitty one, like an efficiency, basically.
Yeah, he's a custodian, and he works for minimum wage, and his apartment, basically, which is a crapple.
And then at night, he goes out, drinks beer by himself, and intentionally starts fights.
Yes.
Yeah, which is not a healthy way to live your life.
Like you do.
Oh.
What have you got against the Irish?
Chipper to me, yeah. I mean, what's nicely done about in the opening sequence is that Lonergan is extremely good at passing out very small amounts of information without making it feel like there's a gap or that like there's some big shoe to be dropped. If something is withheld, it's because it's something people don't. It's not like
he doesn't want you to know.
Mainly because the characters don't want to talk about it.
Right, I found it very interesting. Like, I think at least the first half hour of this movie, there is no incidental music whatsoever.
No, and I think he does an interesting job of making this main character actually somewhat sympathetic by the simple fact of, hey, he's really good at his job.
Yeah.
He's very straightforward. He's very helpful in his way. He doesn't, like, he's like, look, this is just what I do. I'm doing it. Don't worry about it. Until someone gets in his face with shit, and then he doesn't take any shit.
He's a very utilitarian human being, as far as we can perceive at the beginning of this.
But then he gets a phone call and finds out that his brother, who lives in Manchester by the sea, in case you hadn't figured that out, played
which
by
is
Kyle,
a fishing town in Massachusetts.
Yes, played by Kyle Chandler, has had a what do they call it? Not a heart attack.
He has a cardiac condition.
He had congestive heart failure, and basically he has an incident and falls off the back of the boat and dies.
Yes,
and
he's got a congenital, you know, heart disease, which is basically killing him slowly.
Now, when he, Casey Affleck, who was very close with his brother, comes back to the town, finds out that through the will that his brother intended on him moving back there and becoming the guardian of his 16-year-old son, played by Lucas Hedges, who is, you know, I mean, he's a typical teenager. He's in a band.
Well, he's doing a lot better than I did as a teenager.
True. He's got two girlfriends.
He's got two girlfriends, a band. He's on the hockey team.
He's a popular teenager.
Yeah, he is well involved in his life.
But what's interesting about how they structure that is that from very early on, in fact, you know, pretty much from the first scene, what we see is a flashback of the point when, you know, the brothers and the nephew were, the nephew's clearly about 8 or 10. Yeah. This is happier times. And this is clearly the last thing. These are Lee's last real memories of dealing with his nephew. His last happy times before he becomes this bitter, isolated guy living in Boston who suddenly has to take over not only somebody else's life, but actually decide what he wants to do with his own as well. Because this is clearly a guy who is kind of bottomed out. You get hints and flashbacks of what he had before. And I think it's, we have to be very careful about what we say about what you find out, because so much of it is, well, that you will be given a little piece of information which makes you go, oh, okay, I have to reconsider the character rather than the events.
Right.
And then something else comes, and you go, well, how do you get it? It's all about how do you get from the A that we see in that first sequence of them out on the boat and fishing and having fun to the B of him being alone in Boston, not communicating with his family, finding what his family structure is, finding out, more. And what I really loved was that Lonergan's script doesn't just go, well, everybody else's life is fine and his is broken.
Yeah.
It's like, everybody has damage.
Yeah. Everybody in this movie feels very authentic. The town feels authentic. And like Richard says, he doles out the information in such a way that nothing stands pat. You're exposed to these
people. And there's one thing I really loved was if you look, he never hits you over the head with anything. It's very subtly done. One thing that is beautifully expressed is if you watch, there's only one family in the entire film where you see both parents.
It's true.
Yeah, this is a town of broken relationships. And he never whacks you over the head with it. It's never overt. It's just like, these are these people's lives, and these are people who wouldn't talk about what it is to do. I mean, this is blue-collar Massachusetts.
Small-town America, small-town Massachusetts.
And I feel like the genius of the director does here is in the way, as you said earlier, the way he chooses to, give out the flashbacks and details as we find out what happens. I mean, honestly, it's one of the first films that is as sad as it is that the saddest part of the whole film is in the middle of the film.
Yeah.
When you really realize this is why this guy is so broken. And, your heart just shatters for him. You're like, oh my God, how are you still alive?
Yeah. Oh, now I get the fallout here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big stake moment, and we won't spoil it for you here, but it's incredibly affecting, and it never feels like it's exploitative or done for, it's not tragic porn.
No, it's certainly not in any sense traditionally structured, and nor is this film there to give you any sort of easy answers or relief, per se, for this guy. It's not about that. It's more of a portrait of this guy who is irreparably broken, but is doing the best he can in the circumstances of trying to help someone he does genuinely care for.
And a lot of that comes from Affleck's performance.
Yes.
This is, it's funny, we've had a year where very little has really blown me away, and we had a lot of stuff that is kind of artistically underperformed. Birth of a Nation, I think we are all staring at you right now. And in the last few weeks, we've just had this explosion of smaller films with astounding performances. And just yesterday, we were talking about how it's very hard to see who's going to be really competing with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
For Nocturnal Animals. Well, I think we just saw it.
Yeah,
I think we saw the competition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he carries, and my one issue with this film is that Lonergan is so determined to take his time and pace everything out, and he does that really, really well. But it's a long, quiet 2 hours 20.
Yeah.
That occasionally I was like,
But I think that's
reinforced because he doesn't have a traditional narrative.
There were like, I think about two or three times where I was just like, I don't know if I really needed to see that. Not in a like too much information bit, but it's just like, we've established this. Move on.
Yeah, to call this meditative would not be being clear enough on how much it is. You said 2 hours and 20 minutes.
I've sat through hour and a half movies that felt a lot longer than this.
Because I was really with this till the end. Because honestly, this film has you rooting for this guy. You're like, anything is better than what he is currently like, feeling inside. Like, even the tiniest bit of advance in his life is a massive
positivity. You're just waiting for Peter Gabriel to break into Salisbury. it doesn't happen.
As well, you've got to point out Michelle Williams, who is small but incredibly moving performance as his ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
Or at times his wife.
There's already Oscar buzz about her, and I was, you know, throughout her performance in the film, which is not large, I was just like, well, that's good. You know, that's great journeyman work, as I would expect from Michelle Williams. But yeah, by the end, you're like, oh,
the two of them have a scene together that is one of the best scenes I've seen this year two actors.
Easily.
Yeah, very easily. Powerful. And I feel like the emotional content of this movie, despite and subtle emotional content, mm-hmm. for sure. I mean, even when everything is so heightened that, Jesus, how are you not crying watching this?
Right.
It's not being, like you said, it's not being drama porn. It's, like, almost subtle in the way that it's, like, we already know enough about this guy and how totally hollow he is inside that by the time we see what actually happened, that alone is enough to make you feel kind of devastated.
I mean, the movie really reflects the character in that it plays close to the chest, and it does that very effectively. Then there's some other, like, some of the minor performances in here are great too. You know, Kyle Chandler's not in much, but he does serviceably well. Even like Tate Donovan, who doesn't even have a title role in it. He's
hockey coach,
but does a good job. But it's lovely to see Gretchen Mol. I'm so glad she's having a little new renaissance.
Agreed.
Now.
Well, Gretchen Mol and Matthew Broderick forming one of could have felt tonally out of place because they almost feel like the characters as they're written, they almost feel like they could have wandered off out of Best in Show almost,
which
sounds weird, but it really has the same sensibility. But they're supposed to feel completely alien, and there is something very forced about them as characters, and that works really well as kind of this, you know, you get because you spent so long with these characters who are broken and have a certain worldview and a certain approach.
Most of the movie is very Catholic, and then you get really Protestant.
Yeah. It's like, hi. Oh, this is awkward. And full points to the young actor who plays Patty. Patrick, the his nephew. Because this is, you know, he managed, you know, you're on screen with Casey Affleck, who is you know, increasingly becoming
a formidable actor.
But works really well with other really, really good actors. And you've got this guy who's, you know, pretty young and holds his own in those scenes really impressively.
Yes, and very emotional scenes.
Yeah, and the sparks and the tension between them are superb.
I'll say, when Casey Affleck first started out acting, I was like, who is this cracked out looking like Affleck brother? I was like, how does anyone?
Mini Flex.
He's like so.
He's the Affleck brother that mom was like, I can have a couple of beers.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, not exactly leading man material back when he first started, in my opinion. But man, he's really blossomed, and not only just such an in depth actor capable of such a range of emotions, but he's actually a pretty good looking guy now.
Oh yeah,
and he was not when he was young.
Yeah, he absolutely. You know, there's some solid performances all around, but it's definitely. Definitely his movie.
Yeah, when you're talking about 2 hours and 20 minutes of having to carry the film, you know, definitely squarely on your shoulders, especially with the amount of emotional depth here, that's no easy task to pull off. And he really doesn't miss a beat here.
No.
He's one of those guys that I think you're going to suddenly see, like, you look back on his back catalog and you remember how much great stuff he's done. You know,
because he really becomes the part, you know. Yeah.
Under a decade, Gone Baby Gone, Killer Inside Me, I'm Still Here, which he was the best thing about, Ain't Nobody Saints, which is still phenomenal. You know, it's just like, you look at it and just go, you kind of forget how, Out of the Furnace, which everybody loves but nobody saw. You know,
he's got that Jeff Bridges quality that you're like, oh yeah, that was Jeff Bridges. Woo, he was really good at that.
Yeah.
But you forget that, oh, it's Jeff Bridges because he's got such a range.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to final thoughts.
Sure.
Bo, what do you think?
I, you know, this is, we're starting to get into Oscar bait season, and I would definitely put the performances in there, up there, and I think it's probably going to get a screenplay nod as well. I really, despite the subject matter, I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was, you know, cathartic. I experienced a broad range of emotions. Yeah, this is one of the better things I've seen this year. Unabashedly. My only question is, what the fuck was the business? What the boat? Is it a fishing boat? Is it a lobster? And if so, how is he affording a living on with that small of a boat?
I'm clear on that as well.
I'm like, this guy's got to have some side work.
They all do. They'll work the boat in the summer, and then because we noticed there's a lot of conversation about what do we do with the boat in the summer,
right?
And that'll be leasing. But you also got to remember, like, you can have a relatively small boat, and if you have a good season, you pull in a lot of cash, and then everybody works something else during the winter season, or they work touring.
I make no pretension to know how lobstering works. So
Deadliest Catch, man, you got to watch that series. It gives you a great insight into the socioeconomic status of fishermen.
That is true.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I'll give this a solid 9.5 lobster traps out of 10.
Richard? Like I said, I did think it got a little ponderous in places, and some of the musical choices I thought almost felt like a tap track.
I will agree with that, especially after, like I said, they really, I thought, rather masterfully avoided using incidental music in the setup.
Yeah.
And
it was like a half hour of greatest hits of Catholic masses that I felt was a little bit...
It was a little much.
But
on the nose.
But those are the only two things that you can find in really quite an extraordinary, touching... very male film. This gets to the heart of how men deal with grief.
Yeah,
true.
You know, that's really what it is about at the end of the day, and it doesn't give you easy outs because it says there is a moment where he almost takes an easy out, and you go, ah, no, don't. Do that. And the story never does that.
Yeah,
you know, it's riveting. It's cerebral and emotional at the same time. Affleck is superb. Michelle Williams she reminds you why everybody talked about her as the rising actress of a generation 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And if this is what she's capable of still of pulling out, just give her scripts at this point. This is a phenomenal piece of cinema. I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 cylinders about to throw themselves through the engine head.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. I was going to say the one thing that really at any point made me go, come on, guys, seriously, was the musical cues with the like Catholic mass stuff. You're like, this is so on the nose that it's almost kind of laughable. But other than that, this is a near perfect movie for what it wants to be. There are a lot of films out there about grief, but few of them, I think, have given the poignancy through subtlety the way that this one did. Everybody seems like they've got to put all their stuff on the face. There's a scene where the main character totally breaks and is like, and gives all his feelings out. And this isn't that film. This is a guy, a working class guy who's may not even be capable of having a moment like that, really. Yeah. Like, it's just, he's just not raised that way. And so you ask yourself, is this a guy who's ever really going to heal? But the closest he can get is just making sure that other people around him are healing.
Yeah.
And I found it profoundly moving and one of the best acted films we've seen this year. I, as well, am going to give it 9 out of 10 randomly starting bar fights. Because, you know, have you ever been in a bar fight?
No, I've been in a couple.
Oh, Richard, have you been? Yeah, of course you are. You're from Scotland.
Yeah. Yorkshire, even worse.